Welcome to the Road to Fueling Better podcast, hosted by registered dietitian Laura Kilkline
and dietitian in training Gina Santinello. We created this podcast to debunk diet culture myths, share evidence-based nutrition strategies, and empower you to live your fullest life without restriction.
We want to help you make informed nutrition decisions that fit your goals, whether it's optimizing your performance and recovery in the gym or simply learning how to live a healthier lifestyle.
We believe that the key to health and fitness success is to build a solid foundation of sustainable habits that support your goals. This not only includes behavior change, but more importantly, mindset change.
Together, we've helped hundreds of clients end the yo-yo dieting cycle, improve their relationship with food, hit endless PRs in the gym, and acquire the skills to optimally fuel their bodies, all while enjoying their favorite foods.
We hope that you enjoy this podcast. If you're interested in learning more, be sure to follow us on Instagram at balanced.fueling and G_thesportsrd2B.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Road to Fueling Better podcast. We've got another exciting episode today, and it's actually our first myth-busting episode, and we plan to do this a lot more in the future, where we dedicate an entire episode to really breaking down and myth-busting a common fad diet or trend that is out there. And as we all know, there's quite a lot of them to myth-bust, so we have plenty of episode ideas, but we wanted to start with a fad diet that we've been hearing more and more about. Fad diets are out there year round, but typically this time of year, they just, you know, they're just everywhere. So one diet that Gina and I personally cannot stand and we've been hearing about lately is the carnivore diet. So I don't know if anyone listening has heard of it. If you haven't, consider yourself lucky and you're not missing anything. We did some research on, you know, the pros and the cons and, you know, just really understanding what the carnivore diet is all about. And we stumbled upon this sort of list of what it actually is and what it entails. And we started laughing when we saw this list. Pretty ridiculous.
It's pretty ridiculous. So I think we'll kind of start with talking about what the carnivore diet is and kind of going through this list. So what is the carnivore diet? So basically it's just animal products, and certain dairy products. So, foods that you can eat on the carnivore diet, that's going to be meat, fish, eggs, bone marrow, low lactose dairy, lard, grease, and other animal-based fats, and some simple seasonings and spices. So it got me at lard, grease, and other animal-based fats that I'm like, no.
Well, so. Yeah. It sounds like a bad dream.
It does. It kind of sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But it gets even worse because these are the foods that you need to avoid on the carnivore diet. That's going to be all fruits, all vegetables, most dairy products, all sugars, all additives, low-grade meat, all grains, bread, and pastries, all nuts, seeds, and legumes, and anything else that isn't meat. I'm baffled. Like reading that list and saying it out loud is just mind blowing that
it is.
People are jumping on this trend left and right now.
Yeah. And these kinds of lists, you know, with going along with whatever the diet is, are the types of things that, you know, make dietitians just want to curl up in a ball and die, essentially. Like it's because it sounds awful.
It doesn't even sound real.
No.
It sounds like a bad joke.
A joke. Yeah, it really does. It really does.
So, you know, going into the carnivore diet, a lot of people are probably like, oh, carnivore, keto, kind of the same thing. And honestly, I'd never thought that I'd say it because keto, we feel the same way. Keto is actually not as bad as the carnivore diet. Like carnivore is a stricter, more crazy version of keto, because keto at least allows, I think it's like up to 50 grams of carbs. They allow like low carb fruits and veggies. So you can get some fruits and veggies in.
Yeah, not ideal.
But you're getting up to 50. Okay. Like carnivore is zero carbs, zero.
Yeah.
Nothing. Zilch. That's wild. I found something that I like keto more. Like I actually like keto more than a certain diet. I never thought that.
We'd see the day.
No.
But we're here. And it's just, to me, it's sad that, you know, people are willing to go to this kind of extreme for the false promise of usually weight loss. Like that is typically the motivator behind this, you know, type of diet.
That's really the motivator behind all diets
is
promising weight loss. So
that's the main motivator. And like, just going to that extreme, you know, following that list that Gina just went over of, you know, what you're allowed to eat and what you can't have. It's just very sad to me that, you know, we think that that's the answer, that we have to go to that level of extreme and misery.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it doesn't have to be that way.
At all. At all. So we're going to kind of go through why the carnivore is not RD approved. We're going to just kind of go through, you know, the certain foods and nutrients that it kind of promotes and, you know, the foods on that can eat list, and also talk about
a very short list.
It is very short. So we're going to start with that because there's not much there. But then we're going to go into, you know, what it eliminates and the certain nutrients in the foods that are on that avoiding list and what, you know, like what issues can kind of arise from that.
Yeah.
So
many issues.
Starting with what you can eat. As you guys saw, it is protein and fat, no carbs. So you are eating a lot of meat. I know a lot of people do, you know, like the steak and things like that.
Steak and eggs, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
And butter. that's going to be, I mean, animal products are primarily saturated fat. And saturated fat, just, you know, to kind of give you a preface here, it's recommended to be less than 10% of your total overall calories coming from saturated fat. That's a very small percentage. For example, if you're looking at like a 2000 calorie diet, that's about 22 grams of saturated fat, which is probably less than one meal in the carnivore diet.
Yeah. Like if you're having an 8 ounce steak, that could easily be 20 grams, 22 grams of saturated fat, you know, right there. Yeah. Not, you know, and like you said, just in one meal. And I know like a simple way to think about saturated fat is something that's solid at room temperature. So something like butter or lard or any kind of like bacon grease, or the fat in the meat, like a marbled steak, that white fat that you see, that's like, you know, it's solid. Anything like that means that it contains saturated fat. And I guess, you know, again, we promote all foods, you know, fitting into a healthy and balanced diet, including saturated fat. So that's why like those recommendations of, less than 10% of your calories doesn't mean that we can't have any saturated fat. But as you can kind of put together, a carnivore diet is going to, you know, that percentage must be over like 50%. It must be like through the roof on a carnivore diet. And so I think it just is so much calories coming from saturated fat. And so why that's problematic, you may have heard about like the two different kinds of fats, like the heart healthy fats and then the not so heart healthy fats, which the not so heart healthy fats, that's really saturated fat. Yeah. And, you know, basically that comes down to its impact on our cholesterol levels and heart disease risk.
Yeah. So, you know, the heart healthy fats, that would be our unsaturated fats. And that's pretty limited in this carnivore diet, right? So, I mean, unsaturated fat sources, you're going to get that from, you know, like your avocados, your nuts, your seeds. You are getting that in fish like salmon, which is allowed on this diet. So, I mean, you are getting some, but,
if you're having fish,
if you are having fish,
yeah.
You know, like your olive oil, like think you can't have that on the carnivore diet. So your unsaturated fat intake is going to be pretty low. Laura just said it really comes down to its impact on our cholesterol and our, risk of heart disease and stroke. So, you know, LDL, which is our bad cholesterol, saturated fats have been shown to actually increase that. So, and in turn, increasing our LDL cholesterol, that's going to contribute to the plaque buildup in our arteries, increase our risk for heart disease and stroke. So it's something that we really don't want to
overconsume.
Yeah. And it's our unsaturated fats that those are marked the heart healthy fats. Those are going to increase our good cholesterol, our HDL, are going to decrease our total cholesterol, reduce our risk of heart disease and stroke, and
reduce inflammation. Yeah.
And we're not getting enough of that on this diet. So, you know, when you really take a look at inside, it's not great for our internal health at all.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think, I mean, a quick note on like, you know, why people are going about this again, usually for weight loss and
aesthetic.
maybe saying, oh, well, if I lose some weight, then my health will automatically be better. But I think like, we're here to remind you that if someone loses weight on this diet, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're becoming healthier in the process or as a result, given all of the drawbacks that, you know, comes along with this diet, high saturated fat intake being just one of them. Exactly. And we're going to go through this other long list of, you know, again, why the carnivore diet is so problematic.
Yeah. And, before we kind of get into what it eliminates and, you know, more of the problems that arise there, I would say that, you know, the other thing that it kind of promotes is a high sodium diet, right? There's a lot of, you can have like the bacon, the sausage, a lot of these meats do have a lot of sodium. And again, that's not going to be really heart healthy, right? Increased sodium, a very high sodium diet that can contribute to high blood pressure. And again, you're increasing the risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke. And it's just, again, not ideal for our overall internal health.
Exactly. And I know you said that like seasonings and salt is allowed. And I feel like if my diet was so limited to this low amount of foods, I would probably be loading up on the seasonings in terms of getting like different flavor. Let me get some variety. And so I would probably be even more heavy-handed with seasoning, you know, than I would be originally. So I think then it can really, the sodium can really, really start to add up if you're using a lot of those types of seasonings. So it's just something I think that, again, if people are only focused on carbs or calories, something like the sodium can just totally fly under the radar and they could end up, you know, having blood pressure issues, which is pretty scary.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, those are pretty much the two nutrients that this diet kind of promotes is high saturated fat, high sodium. I mean, it eliminates a lot more than what it promotes. And we're going to kind of get into that next. Is there anything else that you wanted to add in this part before we kind of move on? Did I feel like we kind of touched upon everything there?
Yeah. I mean, like we said, the diet is so limited that it's doesn't, you know, high protein, high fat. But again, it's mostly those saturated fats and you run the risk of, you know, a higher sodium. And I think Gina, you'd probably agree with me here, is the main concern for me is not what it's promoting, although it is problematic. It's more so what that long list of what's restricted, mm-hmm. that really just to me poses the most risk and, you know, potential issues for someone following this diet.
Definitely. So let's get into that next then. So what it eliminates. All right. The list is long.
This is a long one. Buckle up.
So we're going to start with the most like wild to me. This is just the most craziest thing to me, that it restricts fruits and veggies. So taking it back a couple steps, it's going to restrict all carbs. All right. So we're going to kind of get into all carbs. That includes your fruits and your vegetables.
Yeah.
We're fighting against a diet that's promoting fruits and vegetables. Can we just talk about that?
This is like day one. Like the first thing you learn about food is like, eat your broccoli so you can, you know, get big and strong. Like that, like fruits and veggies are good for you, is like a basic foundational component of nutrition.
Yes.
And like very hard to argue with.
Yeah.
The fact that fruits and vegetables and all of the benefits that they're offering.
So when we're looking at our fruits and veggies, they have fiber, they have antioxidants, they have vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, a lot of nutrients in fruits and veggies that, yes, you may be able to get some of these nutrients through some of them. Something like fiber, you're not going to get through meat, but you can get some vitamins and minerals through meat, but probably not the amount that our bodies need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure why, to be honest. And if anyone listening here is, I don't know, knows more about the carnivore diet or is a big fan, like my question is like, why aren't vegetables allowed? You know, like why?
I don't know. Question. DM us.
It's a question for the whole diet. Like why? ? Just like, why are we doing this? But when you say it out loud, like no fruits and vegetables, it's this big head scratcher of like, that makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's mind blowing, this whole thing. So, you know, like especially like a certain nutrient, there are, like we were saying, you can get some nutrients that you need from fruits and veggies in these protein sources that you're eating on the carnivore diet. But so something like vitamin C, that's like very difficult to get through all meat sources, right? Vitamin C, the deficiency with vitamin C is going to be scurvy. And that's actually a very common deficiency in the carnivore diet. And scurvy, just a quick background, it's a deficiency in vitamin C that sailors used to get when they were out at sea for months at a time, which is why I thought it was pretty cool. Like that's why it's named that, scurvy.
Yeah. And they didn't, you know, these sailors didn't have access to fresh fruits and veggies. You know, they're eating, I don't know, porridge and cured meat. I don't know. But they didn't have, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables and developed scurvy. And this is something that is one of the bigger risks. I think nutrient wise is something that could come up maybe the quickest, or would start to be like the most kind of glaring thing that could come up with the carnivore diet. This is just one example of a nutrient that's limited and the deficiency that can result, but we're telling you this could be true for a handful of other nutrients as well. But there was an example that we found when we were researching for this episode of a celebrity that actually ran into this. It was James Blunt, the singer, you know, Your Beautiful song, tried out the carnivore diet, and 2 months into it, he developed scurvy. He didn't, you know, he was having symptoms, didn't feel right, went to the doctor and was diagnosed with scurvy in, you know, 2020, 2021, 2022, I don't know, recently.
Yeah.
But you know, scurvy is not something that in modern times now that we would typically see, unless, you know, someone is taking the extremes like this.
Right. And just to give like a little bit of a background, scurvy, the symptoms are just like general weakness, gum disease, skin hemorrhages, and surprisingly, anemia, which I feel like you might be like, well, how could I be anemic? I'm getting a lot of iron and my B vitamins and everything in the meat that I'm consuming. But what you may not know is that vitamin C actually enhances iron absorption. So yes, you may be eating a lot of iron sources, but if you don't have that vitamin C, then you're not really absorbing as much of it as you think you are. And it can actually lead to anemia, which is pretty crazy. I feel like that's not something that you really think of when you think carnivore is low iron. You don't really think of that.
Yeah. Like you said, oh, but I'm eating all this steak, you know, there's no way I could be anemic. But again, if you're lacking in vitamin C, you're not optimally absorbing the iron from that steak. And so over time, you know, could potentially lead to low iron status. And I think just goes to show that, like, this is why this one example of like why a well-rounded diet is so important. Like everything is serving its own purpose. And, you know, the presence of vitamin C in your fruits and veggies is helping with iron absorption. And it's doing all of these other, like offering all these other benefits as well. So when we eliminate these things, it's just, I feel like the risk starts to compound on each other. So now you're not only deficient in vitamin C, but now you're starting to impact your iron status. And I think like any nutrient we talk about with this, like the example could be the same where it's impacting multiple things and you're just going to feel like crap.
Because a lot of nutrients work together to help enhance absorption and make processes in the body work. So if you're cutting out, you know, like one step in these processes, you're kind of disturbing the entire process. So I know, I mean, like you said, like this can be applied to a lot of different vitamins, these deficiencies and these, you know, lack of absorptions, a lot of different vitamins, but this is just something that would be very common in the carnivore diet is lack of vitamin C, scurvy, anemia, things like that. So, you know, aside from the no fruits and veggies, another one that you cannot have on the carnivore diet would be your grains. So like your whole grains, your starches, things like that. And that means no fiber. Like this diet has zero fiber.
No fiber at all.
None.
Another mind-boggling thing.
Yeah. You know, your fiber is going to just a couple benefits of fiber. It's going to help keep you fuller for longer. It takes a little while to digest. It's also going to help with your digestion, kind of keep you regular. I personally don't really understand how people go to the bathroom on this diet with no fiber.
I've heard two things. I've heard it either causes terrible constipation or terrible diarrhea. And that might just be kind of dependent on the individual, but I think, you know, it comes down to that lack of fiber, which is really going to help with regulating your digestion.
Either way,
not a good time.
Whack. It's not normal. And then, you know, not to mention, as we mentioned above with the saturated fat and the sodium kind of increasing your cholesterol, fiber is what helps decrease cholesterol. So it's kind of like a double lose here. If you're increasing your total cholesterol with, you know, again, like all these saturated fats and everything, you don't have the fiber in your diet to help lower that. So that's another concern when it comes to, you know, like our cardiovascular disease and stroke. And again, it's kind of two things working against you there.
Exactly. And again, the lack of micronutrients that a lot of these grain foods have, whether it be something like a fortified cereal or fortified crackers, or, you know, even something like rice or potatoes. Potatoes are like one of my favorite carbs. So, and they have a lot of micronutrients in them, like fiber, like we just mentioned. They also have vitamin C, who knew? Potassium. And so again, you're missing out on all of those micronutrients, which, as Gina said before, nutrients really work together in our body. So it just, like, it's a very inefficient way to be functioning as a human with all of these things lacking in our diet.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing that we see with really, like, when you eliminate entire food groups, AKA carbs in this case,
you're
eliminating entire, like, groups of nutrients too. So that's a huge problem with these elimination, you know, with these diets that eliminate these whole food groups, is that it's these micronutrient deficiencies and, you know, like the fiber deficiencies and everything, that's going to really cause problems down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, just hints at the fact that it's really not sustainable. And I just think trying to function on no carbs is miserable.
Yeah.
It's not necessary, you know, for whatever result you're looking for, whether it's weight loss, you know, you don't need to eliminate carbs to achieve that. If you're looking to have more energy, you don't need to eliminate carbs to achieve that. So whatever you're doing the carnivore diet for, whatever your outcome is, we're here to tell you that carbs can be included in whatever, you know, getting to that outcome. And you don't have to take these extremes. Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of went over the nutrient concerns that we have with eliminating the fruits, veggies, and whole grains. But, you know, kind of going into what the problems that we can face are with cutting out carbs, to begin with, you know, for instance, brain function. So our brain requires glucose to function, right? So glucose, carbohydrates are most readily broken down into glucose, providing our brain with what it needs to function. So with cutting carbs out, we now are, you know, I think we're going to kind of get into it in a little while. Like, our bodies will make glucose for the brain, but it's going to work a hell of a lot harder to do that.
Yeah. Right?
So, you know, it just a common symptom of, like, when you cut carbs, whether you're doing carnivore or keto, is kind of getting that brain fog. It's because your brain is not getting what it needs to function.
It's functioning on, you know, not an optimal amount of fuel. And so you're going to feel the effects of that, whether you're trying to perform at work, at home, in the gym, whatever you're doing, you're going to feel the impact of that. And I think remembering, like, biology 101 is glucose, AKA sugar, is the fuel for every cell in our body. That is what is providing every single cell in our body with energy to function. It's food for our cells.
Yes. And, you know, it's kind of like when you put it that way of, like, glucose is sugar that our body needs. So even if you are cutting out all sugars, your body is still finding a way to make glucose. It needs sugar. So, like, even if you're eating nothing but protein and fats, your body is still making sugar out of that. So why would our bodies work way harder than it needs to make that is just.
And I think a lot of people, you know, that seek out the carnivore diet maybe feel like, oh, I want to eliminate sugar, and because I heard sugar is bad, you know, or whatever. But like you just said, our bodies can make glucose, AKA sugar, with or without, you know, carbs coming in from the diet. But carbs coming in from our diet make the process a lot more efficient and easier to do, not to mention easier to sustain and more nutrient dense as well. So for anyone who if your mind is blown and you didn't know that, the term is gluconeogenesis, if you want to Google it and nerd out with us. But yes, our bodies are that smart, and we can create glucose, you know, from other sources.
Exactly. So, you know, just to kind of go through like a very quick synopsis of that, it's not going to be ideal though. So, you know, carbs are our body's main source of energy, right? Glucose, we store glucose as glycogen in our liver and our muscles. So after the first like 3 to 4 days of cutting carbs out completely, our glycogen stores in our muscles and in our liver that is used as our primary fuel are going to become depleted, right? So once that becomes empty, glucose needs to be made somehow. So the first lineup here of how our bodies are going to make glucose is going to be by breaking down amino acids from our food and our muscles to provide the body and the brain with energy. So amino acids, the building blocks of protein. So your body is essentially breaking down the protein that you are ingesting and the protein that, you know, you have in your muscles for energy, which is something we don't really want.
Yeah. It's not efficient. It's not necessary. And I think, like, you know, if your body is going to produce the glucose at the end of the day, why are you making that process harder to do in a super restrictive way that is very miserable and potentially hazardous to your health when, you know, you think, oh, I'm not eating any sugar, I'm just running on, you know, this protein and fat. Well, yeah, that's true, but your body is still making glucose or making sugar so it can feed your cells. And so it's just very counterintuitive to the whole point of the diet.
You're just pulling it from less than ideal sources now.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that people really understand, like, if we are not providing our body with enough fuel, whether it's carbohydrates or just calories in general, it will start breaking down our muscle tissue to get that fuel, which is like the worst thing that could happen. We lose muscle mass as we age. And this is just honestly facilitating the process here is breaking down the muscle mass that we need for energy when that already naturally happens as we age.
Yeah. And like you said before, another lose-lose scenario.
Exactly. So I think that, you know, it's all about working. What is the phrase? Work smarter.
Work smarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's,
you're not working smarter with this one.
No. Harder. And I think for people that promote this kind of diet, I'm just curious, like, how long have they been following it? And I guarantee if it's been a while, I'm sure that there's been breaks that have been taken. Just speaking to the fact that it's not a sustainable way to live your life.
Exactly. And that's, I think, the biggest thing with this diet is that it is so unsustainable. It's so restrictive. So many rules, like,
you couldn't pay me to do this, like, even for a short period of time.
No. Nope.
I mean, just going back to that initial list, like, it sounds awful. And, you know, I think we've talked about the issue before with, like, non-sustainable diets or measures that we take sometimes. If you can't continue this eating pattern long term, then how do you expect to get the result that you're hoping to get from it long term?
The result that you get short term, how do you expect to maintain that when you can't maintain the behaviors you're engaging in to produce these results, right?
Exactly. So it's a huge waste of time and waste of energy.
Exactly. And not to mention, this honestly sets you up to have a poor relationship with food, right? You're already
big time.
Something like this, something so restrictive, you're already now classifying foods as good or bad, right? Carbs, all carbs are bad. Fruits and veggies are bad. Like, you're setting yourself up to feel guilty for eating fruits and veggies down the road.
That's, which is just absurd.
Mind-blowing. Yeah. And again, it kind of, like we said, it's setting you up to have a poor relationship with food down the road. And really kind of, so this diet is very unsustainable. And failing it is going to make you feel like a failure when in reality, it's just so freaking unsustainable that like everybody fails it at some point. Like you said,
you're like, set up to fail.
Yeah. You're like, I'm sure that people doing this for a long time have taken breaks. Well, that would be considered failing because you couldn't stick to it, right? So
yeah.
Like, you're not a failure for not sticking to this diet. It's the diet.
You're human.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The diet itself.
You're going to feel like you are because you're like, oh, I'm a failure. I couldn't stick to this. When it wasn't even designed to stick to. This diet is not designed to be stuck to.
Yeah. And so you're not the problem. The problem is these, you know, bogus diets like this that set up these very restrictive, very strict food rules. And I think you could, you know, I know we talked about fad diets on maybe our third episode or fourth, one of the first five, where, you know, the diets changed and evolved and whatever's on that list or off that list might change depending on what the diet is. But those types of approaches do not work because they're so strict and not sustainable. So I know we did an episode on kind of like red flags, but that list like that of, you know, here's what you can't have.
Red flag.
Red flag. Like, that's not going to be sustainable. I mean, really the only exception I would think of would be like a medical reason, like a supervised elimination diet for food allergies where you're working very closely with, you know, a dietitian and specializing in that and your physician, and it's set up to be short term.
Exactly. So, like an elimination diet, the point even with an elimination diet is not to keep foods eliminated forever. It's to eventually reintroduce them. But something like this, you know, the carnivore diet, there's no intention of reintroducing. It's just
it's forever
until we don't. Like, literally, let's cut them out until we can't take it anymore. And now we need to add everything back in because it's just completely unsustainable. Like we always say, if you don't see yourself cutting something out forever, don't do it at all. I mean, like if you actually see yourself like never enjoying a glass of wine at dinner, never having a piece of cake at your son's birthday party, never doing any of these things that are part of life, go for it. But I don't think that anybody can say that they actually can see that in the long term for the rest of their life. That's just not that's not realistic.
Exactly. So these kind of, you know, why this is so problematic, again, it's setting you up for that negative mindset, unhealthy relationship with food, kind of chronic dieting and saying, oh, well, I tried the carnivores and I couldn't stick to that. And so I'm just going to try something else. You know, another diet with a list of and can'ts.
Right.
Versus, you know, let me change my approach here. You know, maybe I'm getting this all wrong, and need to rethink, you know, how I'm approaching this, and with, you know, whatever intentions and making sure that they are healthy. Yeah. And I think it sets you up for binge eating too. Like if your favorite food is something with carbs in it, which for most of us, you know, it would be. If you couldn't have, you know, cake or chips or whatever it was for 4 weeks or however long you do this, what do you think you're going to do when you finally can have that again? You're going to, you know, be likely to overeat or potentially even binge eat those foods. And all that's going to do is like keep this yo-yo dieting cycle going. So we're here to tell you, like, get off the dieting roller coaster. It's not setting you up, you know, with these sort of strict approaches like the carnivore diet. not setting you up for success.
If you're on a diet where there's like a specific name, like I am on the carnivore, I am on the keto, I am on the Mediterranean, yeah. Like you're like, that's, it's just not going to stick, right? Because it's like, you go do a social thing. The first social thing that you do, like, then you're not on it. Then like,
yeah.
Many times I've heard like, well, I'm on the X diet, but I'm going to go out with the girls this weekend. Well, then you're not on it. Like you shouldn't be on a diet. Instead, it's like, let's just learn healthy habits and healthy ways to eat that allow us to make decisions that suit
and
our
be flexible
anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's, I mean, that's a whole nother, it's a whole nother topic.
I know. Now we're all riled up over here.
But I think that something that is so, people are drawn to, you know, something like the carnivore diet is because you do see a pretty drastic cut in weight pretty quickly. And people love the quick fixes and the quick results. And, you know, people on the carnivore diet, they're like, oh, I lost 10 pounds in a week. Like it must work. And I don't think that people are understanding, like, you are cutting out carbs and that's why you're seeing this drastic decrease, because carbs retain water, right? So you're
carbohydrate. There's water attached with those carbs.
Yeah. It's something like 1 gram of carbs stores 3 to 4 grams of water. So now you're cutting out carbs, you're cutting out a ton of water weight, and that's being reflected on the scale.
And I think knowing that, oh yeah, but I needed to lose some water weight and oh, but the scale went down. Like that is not the same as fat loss.
Exactly.
It's not the same thing.
Nope.
So again, just kind of going to show that the scale isn't able to capture, you know, in terms of weight loss,
where
was it water weight? Was it muscle? Was it body fat? And I think our brain, whether the scale up goes up or down, we only think about, you know, oh, it was body fat. Oh, all of that must have been body fat, whether I lost all of that or gained all that. And in this example with this diet, especially early on in the first week, that's pretty much all of it, you know, or a vast majority of that weight loss is just going to be water weight due to the carbohydrate restriction. And so again, once you decide, yeah, I actually kind of want to eat a sandwich or like, you know, have some crackers or whatever it is, once you start eating carbs again, that water weight is going to come back. And that water weight isn't a bad thing. You know, it's not the same thing as body fat.
But it will be reflected on the scale as an increase. And I think that that's ultimately and makes people feel like they failed it, when in reality, like it's just water. Like though it's add a piece of bread and now you're retaining a little more water because you just cut bread out for 4 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so, you know, I think that that's a huge thing, that, you know, people see in the beginning of a diet like this, but let it be known that water weight loss and fat loss is not the same thing, but it will be reflected on the scale technically as the same thing, right? Like that loss on the scale and you're like, boom, it's working, but it's not working.
Yeah. And if you're miserable in the process,
it's really not,
what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like why? And I mean, another risk that I know we kind of alluded to a little bit earlier is, you know, whether this diet, just in terms of how restrictive it is or the complete lack of carbs coming in, there is always a risk of breaking down muscle mass, which again is just one of the saddest things ever.
One of like the worst things that you could do, really.
Yeah. Like we work so hard to maintain and or build muscle that it's like gold. Like you don't want to lose that.
No.
And these types of restrictive diets, especially ones that sort of promote that quick weight loss, a lot of times it could be, like we said, water weight, but potentially breaking down muscle mass as well. And if you think about like that sucks in and of itself and sucks in the short term, but it also is going to negatively impact your metabolism in the long run if you have less muscle at the end of the diet than when you started. Your metabolism is then going to be slower.
Yep.
So then it makes weight regain easier. And again, just kind of continues with that yo-yo. Yeah.
Yeah. It continues the cycle that everyone is trying to break. Yeah, I mean, I think that we kind of went over pretty much, you know, our concerns with nutrients, you know, our concerns with the more like the mental aspect of this diet, the physical aspect of this diet. And just to kind of conclude it, so we don't recommend the carnivore diet for anybody due to the reasons discussed in this episode. But there are
no one,
literally no one. But there are several populations that the carnivore diet can even be more harmful and detrimental to. You know, like people with high cholesterol, high blood pressure, we kind of went over, you know, a cardiovascular disease or history of, we kind of went over the effects that it has on that. So if, you know, you're already at an at-risk category there, you're even at more risk now.
Yeah.
With the carnivore.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
so
go ahead.
I mean, and if you think about cardiovascular disease being, you know, one of the most, if not the most prevalent chronic disease out there, this is going to apply to a lot of the population, you know, who have one of these conditions, have high blood pressure, high cholesterol. Other populations, this is, you know, again, even more so problematic for would be anyone with any kind of history of disordered eating. Because
it just feels,
you know, in my eyes anyways, this diet is very disordered. There's these strict food rules with, you know, lack of, you know, purpose behind restricting all of these foods that are actually beneficial for us. And I think anyone with a history of disordered eating or anyone with a negative relationship with food, it's only going to exacerbate that.
It's honestly probably in more cases than not going to onset disordered eating.
Yeah.
For reasons discussed prior. So, I mean, it can definitely be very detrimental to somebody, especially who already has disordered eating. And that's really hard to get rid of once you kind of get that in your head, you know, like once you kind of have this mental block with foods and things, it's very difficult to get around. So, more than just a physical aspect, like mentally can be very harmful to people like this. Additionally, we would say like children and adolescents who are still growing and who need certain vitamins and minerals and nutrients to grow optimally. Children should absolutely not be doing this diet.
Leave our kids out of diet culture. I mean, diet culture just needs to go away for everybody, but like you said, kids, adolescents that are still growing and developing and like developing physically, but also developing their relationship with food and eating patterns for later in life. Like it's such this crucial time where if you start something like the carnivore diet, you're just setting the stage for problems with food later in life.
Exactly.
Really sad to think about.
And I think that, you know, and this is kind of like on another tangent, but quickly, you know, kids see social media. There are tons of people on social media who have zero credentials, talking about X, Y, and Z diet. And now kids want to try it to maybe look like them or because they're saying to do it. But not really understanding the risks associated with it. I mean, they're children, they don't know any better. So
it's just important
to like, not promote this. I don't know. Like, let's just stop promoting stuff like this. It's because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, you know, kids see stuff on social media. They see what their parents are doing or older siblings or people they look up to, like a coach or something like that. and can just, it's such a slippery slope. And I just think, you know, this is why giving nutrition advice, you know, with credentials is so important. Like, you know, to go to someone who knows what they're talking about with nutrition, has a solid educational background and training, rather than, oh, you know, I heard this celebrity is doing this diet, or this, you know, fitness influencer is doing this diet, so I'm going to do it. That's where we, you know, run into issues. So leave it to dietitians to, you know, be the nutrition expert.
Exactly. And then I would say, like, our last population that, you know, it kind of poses a higher risk for would be athletes. I mean, we need carbs to fuel our, sport and our activity. You know, you're just looking now at not only nutrient deficiencies, but at an increased risk of injury, decreased risk of recovery,
poor performance,
increased performance, you know.
Can you imagine eating steak and eggs before a workout?
God, no, that sounds like a bad dream.
Like, you would feel so, I would feel awful.
Feel heavy and slow and lethargic. No, I'm all set.
Nauseous. Yeah. And so it's just like these negative impacts compounding on one another, where you don't feel well, you're running, you know, without these important nutrients, you're not performing, you're not recovering.
Yep.
You're dealing with then anemia, maybe down the road, or scurvy, you know, like, it's like, what are we doing here? This is just, this does not make any sense at all.
No. Nope.
So we hope that this episode was helpful in sort of setting the record straight and really just fully debunking the carnivore diet and convincing you that it is not the way to go about your nutrition.
Like, I never thought that we'd actually be making a podcast episode that is trying to convince people to eat their fruits and veggies, but
yeah,
here we are doing just that.
2022, anything's possible, right? Yeah, we're here to tell you that, you know, fruits and veggies belong on your plate for a reason.
Everything else,
you know, again, kind of one of the first things you learn about nutrition. And you don't have to go to, you know, these very miserable, unsustainable extremes to, you know, feel better about your health or reach your health and fitness goals, whatever they may be.
And keeping in mind also, like we said, external health is not the only measure of good health, right? I mean, your body composition, your physique, that does not determine good health. So, you know, whether you want to lose weight, fine, but your internal health, you know, your lab values, the things that we talked about, you know, earlier in this episode, that those matter too. Good health is everything. It's a big picture.
Yes.
So, you know, it's, and your future self will thank you, right? I mean, that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us alive, is good internal health. So we really want to optimize that, especially during our younger years. To, you know, live a long, healthy life. So.
And a happy one, where you can enjoy all of those foods and not live your life run by this list of things that you, you know, can and can't have.
Exactly. So if you found this episode helpful, let us know. Again, like Laura said, it was our first myth busting one and it was really fun. So we definitely have a good list for future episodes in the myth busting department. But if there is any diet or any, you know, like fad diet or fad concept idea that you want us to myth bust, we will happily do it. We love a good myth.
Happily. Yes. We're all about it. All about it.
So let us know, send us a DM. Yeah.
Share on Instagram, tag us if you're listening.
Yes.
And we'll be back for the next episode next week.
All right. Until next time, eat your fruits and veggies in the meantime.
That's it. And your carbs.